Mark chapter 6. And our text, well, we'll have two texts actually. We'll be in Mark chapter 6, and then we'll also be in Matthew chapter 14. So you'll want to put a ribbon here in Mark 6, and then we'll be in Matthew chapter 14. Mark chapter 6, beginning of verse 45. I want to read this here. And straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship, to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. When he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray, and when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing. For the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and said unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. This is the reading of God's Word. This is Mark's very accurate description of the events that took place that day. But as I've mentioned on multiple occasions, the Gospels do record from different viewpoints and sometimes give us other details. And so rather than spending the bulk of our time here in Mark, we're going to take the primary portion of our sermon from Matthew. So if you go with me, Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, I'd like for us to read Matthew's account, and this is where we'll take most of our text from. In Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22, going down to verse 33, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter, watch this now, this wasn't recorded by Mark, but here it is. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. subject of my message today is Jesus walking on the sea. Jesus walking on the sea. Like I said, I wanted to take my text this morning primarily from Matthew. I believe there's some details here that I believe will be an encouragement to you. Maybe some help to you this morning as we think about and consider what's happening here in this passage of Scripture. Now, we see Jesus as he compels, he constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side, and he sends the multitudes away, and he goes up into a mountain to pray. The evening comes and Jesus is there alone, but the ship is in the midst of the sea. The Bible says that the wind was contrary. Now, we live close enough to the ocean that we kind of know what this is like. Maybe you've been out on the water, maybe you haven't, but we live close enough that we know that when the wind gets up to a certain point, there's warnings. When the wind gets contrary, sometimes I'll get the warning on my phone. They call it a gale warning. That means the wind is really bad and you have to be cautious out there on the water. The waves. You can go out there on the ocean and you can see the waves typically will break at a certain point. But whenever the wind gets really contrary, you begin to see what we call white caps further out than normal. That's what I believe was going on here. And in the days before GPS, before internet, before radio communications, it was especially important for the sailors to have watches set up. And so there was first watch, second watch, third watch, fourth watch. The Bible tells us that it was about the fourth watch of the night. It was in the fourth watch of the night. This is the way that the Scripture records it there in verse 25. This would have been between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So the night is almost over. The fourth watch of the night, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Arguably the darkest part of the night, just before dawn. Maybe in that part when the dawn is beginning to break, whatever. In that part of the night, 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Whatever the case may be, this is when this is beginning to happen. And whether it was the moonlight, whatever the case may be, whether the sun was starting to come up a little bit, whatever it may have been, they see something. Something they didn't expect. Verse 26. The disciples saw him walking on the sea, and they were troubled, saying it's a spirit. When you're on a boat in the first century, you maybe expect to see other boats. You maybe expect to see whales. Perhaps, depending on the sailors, maybe they expected to see sea dragons or mermaids or whatever. These people may have expected to have seen all sorts of different things. They saw something out there. It was Jesus, but these guys, even though they were who they were, the disciples, they didn't expect to see Jesus. They said, it's the Spirit. I can almost imagine them as they, maybe the first one saw it and they stood there on the edge of the boat. They said, what was that? And then they got their buddies and said, come over here, look at this. And they all kind of looked. They said, it must be a spirit. It must be a spirit. It looks like a person, but who in the world could be walking out here? The sea is all messed up. It's windy. We're being tossed around. How could anybody be walking out here? They didn't expect to see Jesus anyway. Remember, he'd gone up to the mountain to pray. Now, that was them at that time. Think about this in your life. Think about this in my life. You and I, we may not ever be in a boat on a stormy sea when the wind is out rough. I don't know about you, but when the wind gets really bad and we start getting those notices about the ocean and stuff, I don't go near the beach. I'm not going to get in a boat and go out there. But the reality is that we do go through storms in life. You may be in one right now. Maybe a sickness. Maybe a financial storm. Maybe a child or a grandchild or some trouble in your marriage or whatever it may be. Maybe you've prayed for a miracle. You've prayed for healing. Prayed for the Lord to be there. And when He's there, you didn't recognize Him. You didn't recognize His hand in the storm because you weren't looking for Him. Now I want you to notice something about this. They were in this windy sea. The wind was contrary. Even though He was there, the wind didn't stop right away. And I submit to you today, and I want to just remind you, and it was a good reminder for me, that even though we go through storms of life, even though we have troubles in our life, even though there are things that are contrary to the way that we want them, contrary to the good order of things, it doesn't mean that Jesus is not there. It doesn't mean that He's not in the midst of it. Often, He is there. I mean, if you're a child of God, He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And look at this. He says, here in verse 26, when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Isn't that the way it is often with us, that we spend a lot of times crying in fear and upset because of what's going on around us? But Jesus was there. Jesus was there. In verse 27, but straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer, It is I, be not afraid. If you highlight in your Bibles or if you underline, and that's not underlined and that's not highlighted, do that. Do that. Meditate on that. Think about the surroundings. The storm, the wind, the waves, the rocking of the boat. All of those things were factors in these men's lives. But Jesus came and He didn't stop none of it. But He tells them, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Whatever it is that's going on in your life. Charles Spurgeon, when he preached on this, he said this, commenting on this verse. He said, straightway Jesus spake unto them. How sweetly sounded that loving and majestic voice. Above the roar of waves and howling of winds, they heard the voice of the Lord. This was His old word also, be of good cheer. The most conclusive reason for courage was His own presence. It is I, be not afraid. If Jesus be near, if the spirit of the storm be after all, the Lord of love, all room for fear is gone. Can Jesus come to us through the storm? Then we shall weather it and come to Him. He who rules the tempest is not the devil, not chance, not a malicious enemy, but Jesus. That should end all fear. All fear. We're in His grip. We are in His hand. We're in the hand of the Father. We're in the hand of Jesus. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And you know what else is in His hand? The storms that we're in. Well, He's there, beloved. He's there. Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. So many times someone will get discouraged. They're going through a storm. They're going through trouble. They're going through sickness, whatever it is. And they say, oh, I don't know where God is. I don't know where God is. I said, well, have you been in His Word? No. Have you been to church? No. You see, like the disciples at this point, they were focused on the storm. And they expected to see anything, anyone, whatever, a spirit. But they did not expect Jesus. Get in the Word. Be in church. Call on your brothers and sisters in those times of storm. You know, reach out. My grandfather used to tell me, if you've got a problem, if you've got some problem in your life, take it to the Lord, but then take it also to God's people. It's what we need, beloved. That's what we need in this life. Sometimes we do need those reminders, those Bible verses. I remember when I was going through some terrible headaches, I was a teenager. You know how long ago that was? Man, that was long before even Leah discovered America. That's how long ago that was. That was a long time ago. But I was a teenager, and I was just scared to death about those headaches. And I remember an old preacher. Well, I thought he was old then. He must not have been very old. He's still preaching, but I thought he was old. He's probably 40 years old or something, but I thought he was old, you know, because I was a teenager. But he called me on the phone and encouraged me. He took time to encourage some young teenager Brother Bobby Lakes in Lakes, Versailles, Kentucky. I appreciated that. He read to me from Psalms 103. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. I needed that reminder. You know what? I saw the Lord in the storm. I saw the Lord in the storm. God used Brother Lakes to help me see that. Now Peter, he was the most outspoken one of the group. Verse 28, Peter answered him. He said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So imagine all these guys on the ship, okay, on this boat. And Peter, he's the one who speaks up and he says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you. Jesus says, come. Peter steps out of the boat. I mean, keep in mind, the wind is boisterous, the contrary, all those things, and he takes that step out of the boat into the water. Now, you and I, we can speculate on what everybody else was doing. We said, well, what was going on in the minds of everybody else? But think about that. He had a great measure of faith to take that first step. In this passage here, it doesn't matter what the other people think. The Spirit doesn't record that. I can imagine. It doesn't take much for me to imagine. I've heard sermons of men criticizing Peter. Because, you know, in this, Jesus does say to him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And we'll get to that here in a moment. But I don't believe that that's the point here of this passage. For us to speculate or think about what maybe the others might have said about him or what we might say about it. From our perspective or from their perspective, Jesus could say what he did. Because he's Jesus. Okay? From our perspective, you and I, at least I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself, I probably would have stayed in the boat. And as someone who probably would have stayed in the boat, who am I to judge someone who's got the faith to step out in the water? You see. Who am I to sit here and to preach a message and say, well, Peter should have had more faith? What is little faith compared to no faith? Where was everybody else? So when we look at this portion that isn't recorded in Mark's gospel, but recorded here in Matthew. Let us think about this. Our lives are not compared to everybody else. Let us be courageous men and women. And think about this. Think about this. Be willing to take the first step out of the boat, even when nobody else will. Walk out there on the water to follow Jesus, if that's what it takes. Even when others criticize or maybe laugh. Maybe they might have said, Peter, you're crazy. Peter, what are you doing? Peter, don't you know that this is a terrible storm? Wait for him to come here. No. Peter says, I'm going to him. And if I die going out there, that so be it. And so he went. He stepped into that water. Faith is the evidence of things not seen, the writer of Hebrews said. I'll read it. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Had Peter ever walked on water before? No. He saw Jesus. That's all he needed. He didn't say, well, hold on, let me go grab my life jacket. Hold on, let me get things in order. No. He said, Lord, if it's you, bid me. Bid me come. Bid me come. Now, beloved, it was a storm. The storm was bad enough in the boat. But let us consider this. As we think about Peter's courage, as we think about his faith, as we think about the fact that he was willing to step off the boat to follow the Lord. It would be easy to preach a message about Peter's lack of faith or his little faith. To take verse 31 as a text. But let us not get there before we look at verses 28 and 29. Let us not get there before we've considered the big picture. And that is, he was in the minority. And beloved, let us also remember that it is easy for someone who's standing in the boat to judge the man who gets out of the boat. It's easy for someone to stand on dry land and look at verse 31, or verse 30 for that matter, and say, well, he should have done this, he should have done that, he should have done this. Wait a second, where was I? Where were you? And I've seen it multiple times in my own life. Men and women who have taken a big step of faith, gotten into a storm of some sort, even like Peter, begin to sink, okay? And it looks really bad. And the critics on the boat who never stepped out at all, never had the faith or the courage to follow the Lord, begun to criticize. Jesus said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? But I'm not going to say that. Romans chapter 14, to tie it in with another verse that I've read recently. In verse 4, who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Now look at what happens. Peter steps out of the boat. Peter is walking with the Lord, walking to the Lord, on the water, to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And look at this, verse 30. Beginning to sink, he cried out. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. Now, I don't know how it is walking on the water. I've never done it. But it seems to me like as you walk on the water, and then you're either walking on the water or you're sunk. That's the way I imagine it to happen. But according to this, it doesn't say he sunk. It says he began to sink. Okay, you catch that? He began to sink. And as he began to sink, he cried out and said, "Lord, save me. Lord, save me." Again, there's no word of what was going on from the boat. There's no word about what anybody else was saying. This was all between him and Jesus. Okay? That's all it was, between him and Jesus. Why? Because at this point, that's all that mattered. Okay? Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. When he wrote to the church of Corinth, he told them this. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 3 and 4. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I shall judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Paul, Peter, all these guys, they were not doing anything to be seen of men. Peter wasn't out there to turn back to his buddies over there in the boat and say, "Hey, see me? Look at me." No, it wasn't what it was about. And nothing that you do, nothing that I do, should be to be seen of men. What happens a lot of times, though, is that when we follow the Lord, we get on the front lines, so to speak, of the battlefield. And a lot of times, we begin to sink. We begin to get caught up in the storms. Get into trouble and whatever. And there's others who will slander, judge, misunderstand, or condemn. And Paul was writing in Corinthians, he was writing to a church that was divided. And when human judgment comes, it's easy to get consumed by it, but rather than get distracted by it and all those things, Paul said it's a very small thing. Accusations of a human court they're not nothing, but they're very small. He didn't ignore it completely, but he said, "He that judges me is of the Lord." And that's what we see here in this text. Peter, in Matthew chapter 14, he didn't take a consensus of the brethren and say, "Should I do this or not?" He didn't go and say, "Well, what do you guys think I should do?" When he was out there in this, he cried to the Lord, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" So I ask you, are you in a storm right now? Are you caught in some trouble right now? Are you following the will of God? Let this be your standard. And if you're in the storm, have you called to Jesus for Him to rescue you? He's the only one who can who can rescue you? And he did. He did. Peter began to sink. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. He didn't say to him, "Well, you've made a fine wreck of this, haven't you?" He didn't say, "Well, I hope you've learned your lesson." No, no, none of that. He stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" You see, as long as Peter kept his eyes on the Lord, he walked on the water. But the minute that he began to see the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And that's when he began to sink. This is all the love of God, the love of Christ that we see happening here. It was not some rebuke. It was love as he pulled him out of the water. "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Beloved, when we follow the Lord and we get to a place, and even when it's our little faith that we begin to doubt, the Lord's still there. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't run from us. We cry to Him and He lifts us up. Praise God for that. Verse 32, when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Isn't that something? Jesus and Peter got into the boat. And that's when the wind stopped. Why didn't it stop earlier? Well, because Peter had something to learn. The disciples who stayed on the boat, they had something to learn too. Ultimately, because it wasn't in the plan of God. Look, folks, we may not understand the reason why God does anything. And he has no obligation to any of us to explain why anything is happening. I don't understand the things I'm going through. I don't understand why the country is the way it is. I don't understand the reasons for everything that's happening. But I do rest on Romans 8:28, other promises in the Scripture. God is true and every man's a liar, and that's a fact. And whatever's going on, He is in control of these things. And even in the most terrible of storms, He's with us. "Be of good cheer," He says, "it is I, be not afraid." And even in those times of faith, little faith, even in those times of much doubting, I can still cry to Him. Even though we cry and say, "Lord, save me." And He stretches out His hand and catches me. It's true for you too, if you're a child of God. All the doubts were gone. In verse 33, then they were in the ship, came and worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." Their doubts and fears had passed. You know, and that's the way it is. Some people trust Him in the storm. Some people trust Him after the storm. But, you know, we see how that is. Now, in the book of Mark, chapter 6, there's something I want to bring out that isn't brought out in Matthew. So if you go back to Mark, chapter 6. verses 51 and 52, says, and he went up unto them into a ship. The wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Brodus, in his commentary, pointed out something that you probably already noticed. Matthew says that they worshipped him, saying of a truth that thou art the Son of God. This was right, but their being sore amazed is impliedly censured by Mark in the rest of verse 52. For they understood not. For they understood not. The miracle of the loaves ought to have prevented their being amazed at any new miracle from the same source. Hardened they were, not so properly affected by what they had seen, not taking the right views of it. We'll see more of that later, but I just want to point out, isn't that the way sometimes with us? That's why we have to be reminded sometimes of how God has done great things throughout the lives of the people of God, whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Indeed, even in the lives of this church and in your life too, God has done great things. And I am convinced that as long as there's a God, as long as He's got a people, He's going to keep on doing great things. We may not understand it all the time, but let us not be forgetful. Let us not misunderstand His great works that He's done, His mighty works that He's done among us and among others that have gone on before us. Let us not harden our hearts. There's nothing too difficult for God. Whatever storm you're in, it's not too difficult. The situation in Washington, it's not too difficult. The situation in Europe, it's not too difficult. The situation in the Middle East, it's not too difficult for God. The situation on the border, it's not too difficult. And on we go. Even those storms that maybe you haven't told anybody else about, and you're carrying that load all by yourself, it's not too difficult for God. Take it to Him. Leave it there. He can handle it. You say, preacher, it's more than I can handle. You are absolutely right. But God can handle it. God can handle it. And we thank the Lord that He can. He's the master of the storms. He's the one who walks on the water. And we thank God for Him. May God add a blessing to His word. I trust this has been an encouragement to you.